they're staying home. It's like, count us out when we're done, which I don't, you know, I'm not gonna blame anybody. My mother-in-law texted me. She's like, "What did I do with the coronavirus?" I said, "We're not doing anything with the coronavirus. I didn't invent it. I didn't." She's like, "You're supposed to do something." I was like, "I don't know what you want me to do about it." They're like, "Well, we're gonna stay at home." I was like, "Well, okay." Anyway, for the service that we, like I said last week, I reserved the right to get smarter later. The elders had a meeting and they figured they didn't have that kind of time. We can't wait that long. So we decided next week we usually do communion 1 week and we share the feast, because you do the sharing of the feast in the communion liturgy, but when we don't do communion, we share. So next week we're not going to do that as well. The common cup is up there, but we're not going to use it. So we're all going to go to individual cups, and we'll do that for a couple of weeks, and we'll just sort of see how it goes. We're trying to stay sort of distanced a little bit. So I'm not shaking hands. I don't care if I'm shaking hands. I think it's just easier for everybody involved to go, you know, we're either fist bumping or elbow bumping, you know, one way or the other. Not shaking hands at all. Unless you really put your hand out there and I'll shake it. I won't. No problem. I'm only in my 40s. I'm sticking to it. I got one more year and I'm going to claim to it. Other than that, that's really all of our heart goes for worship today. Let us rise and sing our opening hymn. My song is a love unknown.
Thank you.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways. Bring them again with penitent hearts, with steadfast faith to embrace and to hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. We find ourselves halfway through our Lenten journey on this third Sunday of Lent, where we are reminded of all of our sinful waywardness as humans, and that despite of our unfaithfulness, God answers us, and he answers in his grace. Our readings from the wilderness wanderings in Exodus is he's provided water from a rock to a grumbling people. The epistle expresses the truth of him who saved us, that even while we were yet sinners, God came to save us. We move on to our gospel lesson, whereupon we meet a marginalized Samaritan woman that Jesus would give the gift to living water that brings eternal life. Through all of this, we are reminded of our own waywardness, of our own sinfulness. Yet through it all, through out of our own hunger and our own thirst for righteousness, the forgiveness is always there, that by our Savior, Jesus Christ.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of Israel, people of Israel, moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel. and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, Is the Lord among us or not? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were weak, still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows us his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise.
Seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day, with peace like a river. It is 763. Then I read the text, And then I go and I read all of the different ways, all the different sermons and all the different ways that I've done that text before. And then I go, okay, this is where I think I'm going to go with all this. This is sort of the foundational steps of writing the sermon. And then the most important thing I do next is to pick the hymn of the day. Because that hymn is the one that I picked that I said, this is going to sort of fully encapsulate everything that we're going to do on that given Sunday. And usually if I'm doing this well, I do it like 6 months ago. And then as the season goes, you write more normal. So one of the things that we're doing in order to try to get you ready for the Sunday is to write that lectare, write that essay, and then provide that through our electronic media, sort of to give you sort of a heads up on what's coming through the Sunday. It also talks about the hymn and sort of giving depth and sort of layers, like flavor layers, to the sermon for the day. So we put that on the Facebook. It also goes on our YouTube channel. If you don't have Facebook, if you don't know what a YouTube channel is and you would like help to set some of that up, we're more than willing to come visit with you, get a look at your technology, and try to set you up with something so that you can see these things, okay? I just bring it up because I thought you did a really good job this last week. Really helpful. So let's get started. I'm gonna look here just a little. I got attacked by a wasp at the first service. After the sermon, I'm like, bang, bang, bang. They're like, what is going on? Just a wasp. But I killed it. Then I tried to get the acolyte to clean it up, Lauren, and Lauren's like, no. I said, that's a real rule. The acolyte's supposed to kill what the pastor kills during the sermon. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The big thing about the service, if you look at our opening season, if you look at the opening page, and this is what struck me the first this week. It says, sir, Jesus says, give me this water. She's giving a cup of water to Jesus. But you know what? In the text, Jesus never gets that cup of water. Jesus is sitting there talking about this water. She keeps changing the subject and going on to new things and diverting his attention, and he's just like, water? She never gives him his water. Our not-so-Puritan friend, Miss Samaritan, never does hand over the water bottle at any point in this entire thing. And I can see in my mind that at the end of the story, she runs off into sidecar to go get her husband, and he's still sitting there going, I still don't have any water. It's not that big of a request, is it? Give me a drink of water? Just a small little introduction. Chances are, Jesus was completely fine with it anyway, right? Knowing Jesus, he probably wasn't even thirsty at all. Sometimes starting a conversation is the hardest part. Is getting into it and sort of making that contact. I sort of had problems with this throughout all of my life, sort of that opening salvo of opening a relationship. I have been charged more than once with being snooty, which is funny because if you know me, you know I'm not snooty. I'm scared of you. There's nothing snooty about fear. Every once in a while, people will go, Pastor's always so snooty. He's no stuck up. Years ago, I had a woman in my congregation. She got mad at me, and she yelled at me. She goes, and what's more, you never come to my house. I was like, well, you've never invited me to your house. And she goes, but you're the pastor. I don't have to invite you to my house. You're the pastor. You come over whenever you want. So the next morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I got up and went for it. I'm here for coffee. All right, that's not true. Right? I would never do that. There's a lot of things in my life I would like to do that I haven't done that I'll probably never do. I've never read Edgar Allan Poe's Complete Works. I still don't know how to build a bookcase. You know, these are things that I'd like to do that I haven't done. Just a little note, if you need me, call me. I'm more afraid of you than you are of me, I promise. Just let me know what you need. I'm pretty good with hurdles. If you tell me that there's a target or a hurdle, you know, I'm pretty good with getting over it. It's called a service. Just tell me. It'll be a whole lot easier because I can't read anybody's minds. Jesus asks for what Miss Samaritan should be asking for Jesus.
which is a drink of water, a drink of everlasting water. She should be asking what we should be asking. And a not so subtle reminding of us that we actually don't know what we need from God until God tells us what we need. We need an opinion from outside of ourselves. And we always need opinions from outside of ourselves. I don't know, men, how many of you do this, but I do this all the time, right? When I get dressed for a fancy event or something, and I get dressed and I go to my wife and I say, "How do I look?" Because I need to know, because I shouldn't have dressed myself. I'll wear tan shoes, black pants, a green shirt, and a blue blazer. I don't really care how I look for the most part, so I need an external opinion to tell me what I look like. And God provides that through law and gospel. He tells me what I look like. We don't know what we need until God tells us what it is that we need. We thank Jesus for salt, instead he gives us water. We beg for a serpent, and instead he hands over a fish. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. I mean, who knew that was on the menu? If you knew the gift of God, if you knew that, nothing else would really matter. For you would have him who is everything. Were they to take our life? Goods, fame, child, or spouse? If they were to take our seminary, if they were to take our synod, if they were to take our congregations, if they were to take our salary, if they were to take our health care plans, if they were to take all of the toilet paper in the entire world, they still would have won nothing. And we would have everything. But this is the promise of Christ our Lord. And that promise remains. That living water remains in our life. Jesus has given us, he has washed us through the renewal of water in the word of our baptism. If you knew the gift of God, you would laugh at that huge pile of dung christened success in this world. If you knew the gift of God, you would let the world damn you for your 5 unsuccessful marriages and for the other 500 skeletons that you have shoved into that ethereal closet of yours. For you have been accepted by God. The husband, the bridegroom of God who will not let you go. He has buried your skeletons. He has banished your sins. And he has bequeathed unto you the gift of eternal life. If you knew the gift of God, you'd reject all the poison the bartender of hell tries to shove your way. And you'd slack your thirst in one place and only one place, in the fountain of living waters of life cascading from the side of the upraised body of the temple of our Lord Jesus Christ, despised and disposed and destroyed, and yet risen 3 days later. Like water from a rock. Where one greater than Jacob is coming. She asks that, "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" Yes. Yes, I am. The patriarch Jacob worked 7 years. Actually, he didn't even work 7 years. He worked 7 years, and then he worked an extra 7 years, 14 years in total, to gain his beloved Rachel. But our Jacob worked harder. Our Jacob worked longer. Our Jacob worked himself into debt in order to wed himself to those that were so uglified by sin that they make Leah look like the trophy. Our Jacob worked harder. He labored to get. gain this Samaritan. He labored to gain this Gomer. He labored to gain this Jezebel and all of you who are their twin sisters. He labored to make them his wife, the bride, the church, for our Jacob loved this church. And he gave himself up for her, that he might beautify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the living waters from the river of life that come from a new and a better Eden. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You are. You who are flesh of his flesh, you who are bone of his bone, you who drank from the well that he dug with his very own hands and feet, you who dine at his table, you who've been invited to drink from his cup, which we'll put back after the corona scares. To you, our Jacob has pledged his undying love and fidelity. To you, you who are fairest of them all. His kisses are grace. He has healed our scars. And he has brightened our eyes. And he has transformed you from beasts into beauties. So come unto me, you fellow Samaritans. That good news. That good news that comes from that well of Sychar, that good news is not just for one person. That good news is for the whole town of Sychar. Forgetting her past, she invites others to come and see, come and taste for themselves. Come and see the man who told me everything that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Wasn't really about her. It wasn't about what God might or might not be doing in her life. It was plain and a simple witness wrapped up in an invitation to come and see. This is the word of Jesus who himself said, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." This is the promise of your husband, Jesus Christ, that he will stand up for you. On the last day, he will speak for you. Your sins will not condemn you because they have been expunged in the blood of the Lamb. And that good news is out there for more than just us. I'm told there's a survey out there. I haven't seen it. I've heard about it. It's one of those things that get bandied around at pastoral conferences. They say there's a survey out there that says non-church people are willing to give church a try. It's just that nobody's ever asked. I'm not sure if I buy it. I'm not sure if I believe it. But I do know this. Visitors to church come at three really interesting times of the year. The big time is New Year's Eve. The services right after the beginning of it. It's almost like it's a spiritual gym. Right? People are like, all right, it's New Year's. We're going to get into shape. So they go to the gym two or three times and they try church once. Well, yeah. The other big time is at Christmas because of all the lights and the tradition and the sounds. It just sort of sounds like even non-church people are like, well, let's. Seems like we're missing a part of our celebration. Let's go try a church. It always amazes me every time I do the visitor logs for Christmas, for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You end up with all these visitors you've never seen and you've never seen. But the other time is at Lent and Easter. Especially in a Lent and Easter like this, where things are up in the air. There's a lot of people going, I don't know what's going to happen over the next week. I don't know what's going to happen next month. They're hoarding toilet paper all days. How fearful can you be? Come and see. the man who already knows about your thirst and hunger for righteousness. Come and see the man who already knows everything about your sin. Come and see the man who not only knows who you are, really knows who you are, but did something about it. Two pieces of wood and three nails and a thorn, a crown of thorns. Come and meet the man who's willing to die for you, that you might have eternal life. Come and see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Continue with the confession of our faith. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, though we are undeserving not only of your mercy and grace, but also of your tending unto our daily needs, we give you thanks that you have provided all that we need in this body and life. We pray for all that we need, the health of the soul, the peace of the mind, strength for our bodies, forgiveness of our sins, freedom from condemnation, and a genuine heart gifted for service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that the witness and teaching of those whom you have called and placed as overseers and leaders in our places of worship here and throughout the world faithfully fulfill the task you have placed before them, that they speak your word in confidence so that your truth prevails. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your healing to those that we named before you. We especially pray for those of our congregation dealing with cancer, for David McElfresh and Donna and Fred White, Terry Sheldon, Peggy Blomsky, and Albert Parrish. For Carolyn Cooper, who is recovering after a fall and hitting her head. For Christine Smith's mother, who fell and broke her hip and her left arm. For Jim Clowney, who is recovering from his shoulder surgery, which has been re-injured. For Judy Dogen and her family, she grieves the death of her brother. For Judy herself, she has been hospitalized as well. For Landon Beers and Joanne Zabersky. For Faye Wright, the friend of Margaret Sabo. For Charlie Messerschmidt's mother, Elvira. For Brenda Tomlin, who recovers from her surgery. For Pastor Diamond, who's recently had a spinal injection for pain in his back. For Peggy Polonsky's two brothers, Ronald and Gary, who recovered from their own surgeries. For Sue Alexander, who had a knee replacement and is recovering at home. For her son, Mark, who's been deployed. For Esther Guy, who has multiple health issues. health issues, and Helen's sister, Linda, Lord, we pray. Bind up the hearts of those who are troubled. Heal the wounds of those who suffer disease or injury. Comfort those who are burdened. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in our country and the armed forces and ask that you would guard and protect them in the fulfillment of their duties in domestic and foreign life. For all who work in our communities, for safety, order, and protection, be with them in their service. For all who use your gifts and abilities given for the health and well-being of others in medical fields, guide their care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In this season of Lent, continue to open our hearts unto your word, to repent of our sins, to be drawn to the cross of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all who commune at this altar today and through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus, that they be strengthened in your forgiveness and able to withstand temptation of the devil and empowered to lovingly serve their neighbors in your name, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
good rites and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who demonstrated his mercy and his grace unto sinners while we were still weak. He died for the ungodly, and while we were still sinners, he died for us. Through your love in Christ beyond compare, prepare our hearts and minds and hands and lips to celebrate this meal, to receive your body and your blood given and shed for us in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Thank you.
Welcome to the table.